Hey, you know what that sound is, everybody. It is Time Out with Patty C, and we are in our third music bracket. It's incredible. We have some matchups tonight that you're just scratching your head saying, I wonder who is gonna move on. Well, one guy that's not in the bracket is Matt Bolton, who we're listening to. We have a new guy tonight. We have YOLO. Say hello to the team.
How you guys doing?
Good. And Papa Gig.
Hey, good talk music with everybody once again.
TD Whitman.
It's great to be back.
And Mikey D.
Same here. Good to be back.
All right, everybody. We have a crazy setup on the num first one. It's I don't know who's moving on, but we have Led Zeppelin against the Doobie Brothers. And now before we shoot down the Doobie Brothers, taking it to the streets, you know, they were rocking. Real rocking. The funny part about it is when I did my little research on the Doobie Brothers is they were thinking of a band name. They didn't know what the band name was going to be. According to Tom Johnson, Rosen said, why don't you just call yourself the Doobie Brothers? Because all you do is smoke pot. So perfect, you know, but they're going against Led Zeppelin. That's a number one against the 16, and the 16 just squeaked in. So who's got something? Let's just give Doobie Brothers some credit here. Who's got any Doobie Brothers, you know, stories?
The Doobie Brothers were prominently featured on What's Happening when Rerun tried to bootleg one of their shows. Yes. And it was a major problem. But other than that, Led Zeppelin kicks their ass.
There was one great line in that show, because I remember it, and it was they had to call the Doobie Brothers, and I think Rerun said, well, who do you want to talk to? It was like, whatever Doobie Brother, Doobie in. And it was a line. It was hilarious.
Another great Doobie Brothers reference I like is, you guys remember the movie Romancing the Stone with Michael Douglas from like the 80s, early 80s? Yeah. And they come across the crash plane where the smugglers had crashed, and he's throwing another brick of pot on the fire and, like, you know, smelling it. And he's like, and he finds some old newspapers in the plane. He's like, oh, man, the Doobie Brothers broke up. When the hell did that happen, you know? And she's like, how long have you been down here in the jungle for Columbia anyway? So, but yeah, Led Zeppelin just, I mean, yeah, that's a tough scene, no doubt. Led Zeppelin wins every day.
And any Zepp stories around the board? And how about you, YOLO, anything?
You know, the only thing to me about Led Zeppelin is a lot of people accuse them of stealing their music. You know, they supposedly lifted a lot off of blues artists, and their music wasn't always as original as it was sold.
You know, when you look at the Doobie Brothers and them too, well, there was not many artist changes or member changes in that band, minimal, because I think after the drummer died, they stopped, right? They broke up after that.
Yep. And they did a couple, like, Live Aid, you know, relief performances with Jason Bonham on drums, but that was just for, you know, charity events. They never, you know, released anything, tried to make any money from it, you know, for themselves. Which I always gave them a lot of credit for, because they could have just kept going and kept selling records and printing their own money.
But I think some of that had to do with the fact they couldn't get along. I think that there were some fights within Led Zeppelin.
It's a sign of any good band.
I think it had more to do with that. I mean, I'm not even sure that they're willing to play together today because of the feuds that existed.
Yeah, Robert Plant and Jimmy Page,
You know, Robert Plant went out, and he made some really great music in a lot of different genres, too. He didn't have to stay into the rock world.
Right.
And I don't think Jimmy Page was too happy about that.
Yeah, his partnership with Alison Krauss, there was some neat stuff.
There's a good podcast where the Black Crowes talked about playing with Jimmy Page on that tour too. Now those are some shows. I'm bummed I didn't try to get to those shows when they were out. Well, there we all know Led Zeppelin's moving on
in their private jet, their 707, which if you've ever seen the photos inside that place, that thing was crazy.
Yeah, it was rocking. Total rocking. Well, our next two bands, we have the Pretenders against Deep Purple. Now, I'm a big Pretenders fan, saw him a few times. Have any of you seen the Pretenders in show? Yeah, Papa Gig, tell us a story about that.
I got a good one. Yeah, I saw the original. I just looked at the date, February of 82 at Muhlenberg College, back when Muhlenberg College did shows.
Wow.
So my little side story, though, I was playing freshman or JV basketball. Probably JV. And we were always practicing after school. Well, the coach wanted to move our practice tonight. And I said, well, me and my one buddy, well, oh, coach, we're going to a concert. We can't move. Well, the reason it was being moved tonight is because all the varsity guys, they wanted their practice after school because they were going to the same concert. So they didn't tell the coach why. They just told the coach, hey, we want practice move. And my coach was giving me all this crap because I was missing practice for a concert. Mm-hmm. But it's because the varsity guys were going to the same show and they got theirs moved and they didn't tell the coach why. But It was a great original lineup. At Muhlenberg College, those first Pretenders albums are fantastic.
Yeah, crazy. I've seen them later on, but she does not like anybody taking pictures. She stopped the show at Penn's Peak.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Pat, you and I were there together.
We were there, right? Mikey.
I mean, she stopped mid-song, and it was like, that was it. Yeah. It was like, everybody's like, what the hell's going on? And Chrissy was basically ripping somebody to the audience a new one for taking her picture with their phone.
And who's going to mess with Chrissy Hind? I wouldn't mess with
her. Heck no.
In some of that little research, she actually played with The Clash early on, right?
Yep.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
In The Damned, I was watching a rock and roll documentary of the band, The Damned, early punk band. Yeah. There was a picture of her in the original lineup. Yep.
Now, but they're going against Deep Purple, English rock band. They had quite a few different, members. Richie Blackmore was a singer. They had a lot of different singers through the year. They're considered the pioneers of heavy metal and modern rock, how do you not? And Love Smoke on the Water. And I just thought it was a song, which was cool, until I did my research and realized, is it some idiot with a flare gun that burned the mother down? A flare gun, yeah.
Burned the place to the ground, yeah.
Burned the drums dead.
In Montreux, Switzerland. I've seen Deep Purple twice. And they were, I never realized, I saw Ian Gillan as the lead singer, and I thought he was always the lead singer. But then I went back and did research, and They changed band members all the time. You talk about not getting along.
Yeah.
Richie Blackmore, the guitarist, didn't seem like he could get along with anyone. But I love seeing them live. I love their music. John Lord on the organ did a lot of really cool Bach-esque kind of stuff. I've always really liked them.
I don't know. I have to say, agree with you, Papa Gig. Those first few albums for the Pretenders were just rocking.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. YOLO, you got something. You got to agree with that one, right?
Yeah, I have to. I was a big Pretenders fan myself, early 80s. So I would have to go with Pretenders.
I'm going to file an official protest on behalf of Deep Purple, but I'm okay. It's all right.
You're okay with it.
Yeah, it's okay. I just felt like I have to do that. We go way back to like 1984, so I feel like I need to do that.
Yeah. Well, you're the long-haired kid from California with the skateboard, so.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Those things happen.
That's right.
Well, hopefully YOLO a little later on is going to be able to give us a few more insights on things because he actually was a DJ back in the day and bringing the crates in and out, right?
I will throw this out there, Pat. So I used to DJ and we had a really good sound system where I used to work. And the song Hush, when you crank that up over a good sound system, it can't be beat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that song to this day.
Was that little place in Stony Brook?
Yeah. Checkmate Inn.
Well, Pretenders go through, even though we will, you have until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, TD, to file the paperwork through the mail.
I'll do that. The International Music Court. I'll submit all my documents.
Perfect. Well, next up, we have Foreigner against Jimi Hendrix. Now, somebody might look at this from a side and say, well, we know who's going through. But when you write a song called Jukebox Hero, and it is played at every bar during the summertime, whatever year it was, like, how, what can't go wrong with that song, right?
One Record. I'm a fan of One Record.
Yeah, same.
I'm a big fan of that one song you mentioned. I really like Jukebox Hero.
Yeah.
And then they did some other interesting things, and that's all I've got.
Yeah. But, you know, Double Vision, Crazy Foreigner, Double Vision, Head Games.
Hot-blooded.
And
Pat, did you see them? Did you see them in the Hamptons with me?
No, I didn't. Where'd they play in the Hamptons?
They played on a farm field for like a Billy Joel fundraiser. So it was like Billy Joel, Don Henley, Foreigner. There was a few other bands there too. But they were a nice surprise.
Yeah, I saw Foreigner as well in the mid '80s, and I got to say they rocked the house.
They put on a show.
Yeah, they put on a good show. I mean, it was with Lou Gramm as the singer. So I think once he left, they kind of tanked. And their guitar player Mick Jones was pretty decent. You know, he could hold his own. So you know, in the mid '80s, rock radio was they were all over rock radio. I mean that was all you heard. You heard more of them than you did Jimi Hendrix in the mid '80s. That's for damn sure. But
the guy self-taught himself how to play the guitar.
Backwards.
Yeah.
that's what's always amazing to me. He grabbed a standard Strat and felt more comfortable playing left-handed, so he just flipped it over and just learned to play it the opposite way.
Yeah, upside down. Yeah. It's crazy.
And, you know, only four albums, Our Experience, Access, Bold and Love, Electric Ladyland, and then Jimi Hendrix Band and Gypsies, and then that Band of Gypsies album. Yeah, we have to push Foreigner through. I mean, Jimi Hendrix what? Through. I'm just making sure everyone's listening, like on the podcast. And we're like, what? So now we have the big one. We have the Police against the Clash. Now, this is a tough one, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
No.
No?
No?
No.
Uh-oh, let's hear it.
I know. The police are great, and I appreciate a lot of their stuff. But to me, it hasn't held up over time like The Clash. To me, The Clash is still as energetic and you know, like, get people out of their seats and moving around.
You fooled me.
I just think The Clash have really stood the test of time. Not to take anything away from The Police. In my opinion, The Police just ran into a buzzsaw here.
Interesting thing. So Chuck D has a podcast about The Clash. And he paints the Clash as being a real intellectual band. And that when he was putting Public Enemy together, he wanted to model Public Enemy after The Clash. One of their music to really have a message.
Joe Strummer, I agree. Joe Strummer, his dad was a diplomat. He was raised, he lived in different parts of the world, but then yet he seemed like this poor punk kid, though, so I'm not sure what. There's something little mixed in the family, but yeah. Clash
is their original music is really more, I mean, not their original music, their early music is more true to themselves. But as they started going on, they had a lot of money problems. And the cure for that was to put out more pop music. So the later stuff is more designed to sell, like
Combat Rock was released to sell
records and make money because they were in debt.
He was quoted once saying, you know, something like that, like when they signed that CBS contract. I got to make $25 a week, you know, they needed a contract. If you don't have and that was back, well, not so much today, because you can almost work your own deal because you can record yourself in your own house. But back then, you know, I'm assuming they're just playing bars and to punk heads and they're making minuscule.
Well, they were squatters. When they first started the band, they were squatters. There's some really cool videos. I'm a Clash freak. And they're playing in this just abandoned, you know, apartment building was their rehearsal space. But they were squatting at different times.
Rock the Casbah was the song I was trying to think of there.
Yeah, Rock the Casbah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their first record, self-titled, Give Enough Rope, London Calling, those first three records, man. And I'm like, God, I can't believe how much I listen to Clash these days. And it doesn't, it never stops, like you just said, hitting me.
Yeah.
The song about their record, they have a great song about their record contract, Complete Control. It's about their contract with CBS.
Yeah. Oh,
my favorite Clash song, man. I listen to that and wow, that's much better than that for me as far as the Clash, Complete Control.
Yeah, so that's a tough one. I'm gonna have to vote for the Clash. So if we want to go around the room, I see TD and Papa Gig, you got a thumbs up. Mikey D?
Yeah, I'll go along with the group. I'm a Police fan. I love both bands. I like both bands, but I think I've been a little swayed. I was thinking Sting and his impact on the music industry, not just with the Police, but as a solo artist. I mean, not that I love everything he's done, but I think he's been pretty versatile and he's been pretty able to stay current even today. Maybe more so than the Clash, but I'm good. I think the Clash as a band versus the Police, I think for what we're talking about here, a rock and roll bracket.
Yeah, rock and
roll.
You
got to go with the Clash. Yeah. Yeah.
I would agree. So I just went downstairs
and
grabbed the London Calling, the Clash. This one's got a great
with some pressure radio drop. That's a great record.
Bank Robber, Justice Tonight. Good stuff.
Good, very good stuff. There he goes. Likes coming back with a little souvenir here and there. Well, hold it up on Mikey D. Just talking about, we are talking about rock bands. And the next two bands up couldn't be more night and day than anywhere. We have Kansas against Metallica. So anyone have any high school stories about Kansas?
There were all these times that I didn't go see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually had opportunity to see Kansas, I think twice. And I would really go to see just about anybody. I've seen a ton of the bands in this bracket. And I never went to see them. So, which means nothing about their, musical ability or, their popularity. They never really, they never really did it for me.
A secondhand account. I still remember this is a big music memory for me. My sister saw them at the Allentown Fair when they were touring for our Left Overture, Carry On My Wayward Son. And, I'm 4 years younger than my sister. I just remember my sister the next day, I didn't see her when she came home, just saying, I want to go back. It was like her first concert had such a profound impact on her. And her retelling it has such a profound impact on me. I thought, man, I want to go to a concert because this is how it makes you feel. She kept on wanting to go back to that concert, that Kansas concert. And it still sticks with me. My sister's first concert experience, and it was Kansas, and how much she loved the show.
Yeah. Well, interesting enough, when we now talk about Metallica, one band was albums and the next band were CDs. I'm going to vote for Metallica through, even though Kansas is a good band. It is a rock band, like Mikey D said before, right, Mikey D?
Yeah. It's a rock bracket, man. And I think you also got to look at which band had the biggest influence on rock and roll as a whole. And I think although yes, Kansas had their moment and had their hits, I think Metallica has left a more lasting impression, even though I'm not really a huge Metallica fan and don't really know much about them. Never really quite connected with them, but I think I feel like I connect with them a little more than Kansas.
Yeah. Metallica was definitely a departure, as I always joke about being a heavy metal thunder kid, but I was into some heavy stuff like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden and that kind of stuff. But there was a lot of glam rock, Motley Crue, Rat, Poison, and Metallica was a sharp departure from that.
Mm-hmm.
Before, a few years before Nirvana hit the scene. Different, yeah. But that kind of shock to the system where it was, hey, we're just coming out in jeans and t-shirts and we're just going to thrash and kick ass. But I've seen them live several times and they were really tight live. They did a really good live performance. Mm-hmm. And they played really fast with, really quick tempo changes. And I just always, I wasn't a huge fan of them at the time, as I think I appreciate them more now, actually, even though I'm old and so much more mature. But
what year was that, TD?
I saw them in 85, 86, 87, 88. And usually when I saw them, they were opening for another band or they were part of a festival. And I wasn't necessarily there to see them, but always really ended up loving their portion of the show.
Well, you know, in 2009, they're inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So you can, you know, so you saw them at the, you know, I guess their height.
Yeah.
I don't want to say height because. Right.
Well, I saw them again in 2000, I think it was 2006 or 2007. And they were at the First Union Center or whatever the arena in Philadelphia is called now. And it was completely packed. They did another amazing show, you know, and they were getting on in age a little bit. And they still sounded great, and very powerful. So, yeah, I've really grown to respect them. And I think what Mikey D said earlier about them being, you know, the impact on the genre and being transformational definitely holds true.
Well, I think we have Metallica moving on that one. That was a no-brainer, even though it was in the middle of the bracket. And now we have two interesting ones. We have Stefan Wolf against ZZ Top. I did see ZZ Top, the Sharp Dressed Man tour, and what my brother turned me on to him as on his 8-track. And those guys just could freaking play.
Yep.
You know? But, and then again, though, their early stuff, they got a little, you know, pop. No, I don't want to say poppy, but they got a little more mainstream later on, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
But, man, their early stuff.
Yeah. Well, that Eliminator album, it's a good album with a lot of catchy tunes, but it was definitely – they caught lightning in a bottle with the start of MTV and Legs and Sharp Dressed Man and Give Me All Your Lovin'. With the car and the girls, and it was a pretty tired formula by the end of that run, but they absolutely capitalized on the MTV era. But if you listen to their stuff before then, they just, for three guys, they could really bring it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trace Hombres, Fandango, then Dinguello. But yeah, right then, you know, Dinguello was in 79, and then you got El Loco, Eliminator, Afterburner, and Recycler. You know, it was like you need one word for an album because it's kind of like the same songs, but they're going to be a top hit.
Yeah, I like the one story I like about ZZ Top was they were really young. They had just come off opening a few shows for Jimi Hendrix, and they were short on material. Original material, they actually played two Hendrix covers opening for Jimi Hendrix. And he said, you guys are bold. I really like that. And then they opened three shows in Hawaii for the Rolling Stones. And they came out in their like Texas belt buckles and their big cowboy hats. And they said, before we played our first note in Hawaii, we heard someone in the crowd go, "Oh, damn, it's a country band." and Dusty Hill looked at the other guys and said, "Guys, we got to bring it hard." And he said, "We just tore it down for the next three nights with the Rolling Stones. It was amazing."
But now, you know, you got Stefan Wolf, you know, Magic Carpet Ride, The Pusher.
Born to be Wild.
Born to be Wild. Born to be Wild. That's your theme.
Born to be Wild. That's right. I forgot. Yep. Born to be Wild.
That's huge. Yep.
That's an anthem song, you know, at stadiums and stuff like that.
I know, Pat, you've established that you like, you know, original lineups and longevity. ZZ Top, same three guys, 50 years.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and you know, the last 30 years, maybe, you know, 25 years, maybe not a whole lot of new groundbreaking stuff, but they're still together. They're still playing. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. I like it. And I think Gibbons just put out a solo album. Well, our next two bands, Cream, and we had to make a little change in there because my bracket was a little off. So we have Cream against David Bowie. And that's a tough one because let me look at my notes here. Let's see who was in Cream. Jack Bruce, Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker. Those guys are pretty good.
My dad always described them as the first ever super group. And I was a kid, I never knew what that meant. He had a ton of Cream records laying around all the time. And I've grown to appreciate them, especially Ginger Baker. I love his drumming. And of course, Eric Clapton, you know, but they didn't like each other. Jack Bruce and Ginger Baker couldn't stand each other. Eric Clapton was the one who brought them together. And, but they couldn't stand each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they are inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 93. But now we're going against David Bowie.
Yeah.
And now that guy.
He did everything. And he did everything well. Yeah. Yeah. I really like Cream, but I there's no way I could vote against David Bowie in this matchup. So that's just my take on it. So creative. So every album was different, as you mentioned earlier. He was amazing.
Yeah, I never, you know, I think I remember when Ziggy Stardust came out, I was like, what is this? It wasn't my, but when you look back on it, you're like, and if you search on YouTube for some of the Ziggy Stardust shows, it's pretty funky looking, you know?
Oh, yeah. The whole band, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think he also is sort of trendsetting, you know, being sort of that, what's the word I'm looking for? Androgynous, you know, asexual type person in that 70s era, when that was sort of so edgy and trend setting, but he survived that. He wasn't chastised too much for that, and people didn't ignore him. People still respected him, and you got to give him a lot of credit for that. So
yeah,
you know, Cream's a tough matchup, but I think you're right. I think you got to vote Bowie through comparing the two.
How about you, Yolo? You probably threw on the disc Modern Love.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I did. You did. Yep. I enjoyed it. It wasn't bad.
So we have David Bowie moving on. Next two, Lynyrd Skynyrd against Joan Jett. And, you know, because she was in the band of Runaways first. And then who else was in that? Was
Lita Ford.
Lita Ford was in that band. That's okay. Right. And then, and so she rocks. She's a Long Island girl, no less. South Shore, right, Artie? Because Artie and I grew up real close to each other.
Babylon.
Yep. And then, but now you got Lynyrd Skynyrd. You got a Southern boy. You got a Southern group against, you know, against a Long Islander. So she knew who she was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, she had a punk rock attitude. Yeah, I love her attitude. I could vote for Mrs. Rock and Roll. I could vote for her on her attitude alone. So I sometimes think it was glossed over in the whole MTV era, and she was almost made to be too much of a sex symbol, I'm sure, against her desire. But yeah, her rock and roll attitude, man. And she's legit, you know. Even in the Runaways at, what, age 16 or so? She's a true rock and roller. She gets my vote. Even though I grew up with Lynyrd Skynyrd, listening to the albums of my brothers, and of course, you know, that one song that people sometimes request other bands to play. What's the name of that song?
I don't know. It's I think someone always says, what song is it you want to hear?
I shamelessly yelled it out to the middle school band where I teach was practicing the courtyard the other day. And last week, I shamelessly yelled, hey, play Freebird. And the middle school kids, they didn't know what I was talking about, but the band director knew.
That's so funny. Now, I think, Mikey D, when we went up and saw Blackfoot and Molly Hatchet at Penn's Peak, I'm going to swear they were – somebody yelled it from them, sure. Even though it wasn't Lynyrd Skynyrd.
They probably
right?
did, yeah. I'm sure they did, yeah. Yeah.
How about you, TD? What do you got? It's a tough one.
I will say that I really like a few Lynyrd Skynyrd songs, but I can't say that I know many more than those few big hits.
Yeah.
I really like Joan Jett as a kid, and I've seen her live twice. And again, she just comes out. She doesn't really, you know, seem to care if it's her element or not. She just lets it fly, and she is who she is. And I, I really enjoy your music. So I'm going to vote for Joan, even though,
yeah,
you know, maybe that's rock sacrilege. I don't know.
Mikey D?
You know, I actually am a lot more familiar with Lynyrd Skynyrd's songs than I am Joan Jett. I listened to a lot of Lynyrd Skynyrd albums in college, you know, and I kind of like that Southern rock genre. So initially I was thinking I was going to vote Skynyrd through, but, you know, I think this bracket is lacking some feminine contestants. And so I'm going to go with Joan. I'm going to vote Joan through. I think, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, the other great thing about Lynyrd Skynyrd, I love the story of how they got their name. You guys know that story? You ever heard that story?
No. What is that one?
So, you know, the guys in the band, I think there were, you know, some brothers and stuff, and growing up, they had this gym teacher who always used to just belittle them and tell them how they weren't going to ever amount to anything. And they were just a bunch of, you know, crappy, you know, wet nosed kids, and they were never going to do anything with their lives. And his name was Lynyrd Skynyrd. And so they changed the spelling a little bit and they said, we'll show him, well, you know, what we're going to be. So I got to give him the props for that. So, you know,
that's a good,
I'm a Skynyrd fan, yeah. But I'm going to go with Joan. I think Joan needs to go on through.
Yeah, and YOLO. Same with you.
Pretty big fan of the Southern rock. I saw Joan Jett 2 years ago at the local fair, and she looked up there in age, but she's still rocking it, still high energy.
Sure.
The leather jacket. So she's still going at it strong. So I'm going to vote for Joan Jett.
Good. Well, at least we have her going through, because the next going to be – that's a slam dunk, because it's a one against a 17 maybe. So we have Heart against the Beatles. Mikey D, you're a big Beatles fan.
Yeah, I am. I mean, it's kind of a no contest kind of thing. But I did see Heart back in the probably late 80s. And they were great. They had some great songs, and I think they put on a really good show. Something about – what's the lead singer? Which Wilson? I forget. Is it Ann Wilson or Nancy?
Ann Wilson.
Yeah.
Ann and Nancy.
Something about her voice. I'm not a big fan of her voice, really. I mean, I think they're a rocking band and they got some cool songs, but yeah, I mean, the Beatles got, it's like, how do you even hesitate?
Yeah. So there we have it. We'll have the Beatles move on. Now, the next two, we got four bands left. We got Bob Seger against Bad Company. Now, this is a tough matchup, I think, only because I like both bands, or because it's Bob Seger. First, it was Bob Seger in the blues band, and then it was Bob Seger. But, you know,
Silver Bullet Man,
yep. So I don't know. Both great musicians in both bands, great music. I think they have the same amount of hits. Who's got some stories from back in the day?
So I saw Bob Seger. It was actually a husband and wife, friends of my mom, had Bob Seger tickets at the Spectrum. And they had tickets for their son or something, and he couldn't go. And they asked my mom if I could go to Bob Seger with them. And I had seen Iron Maiden the week before. So that should give you an idea where my head was. But my mom's like, oh, why don't you go? It'll be fun. And it was. It was a blast. The show was fantastic. It was completely different than what I was used to going to. But Bob Seger was great. He had a great stage presence. I mean, the songs are great. I knew more of the songs than I thought I would. And that made it quite an impression on me. And I really, really enjoyed the show. And I always, after that, I had a much greater appreciation for him. So I'm going to give him the nod, even though there are a couple Bad Company songs that are truly classic, I believe.
Yeah. How about the rest of you guys? What stories you got for us?
I just think Bad Company is just a great, solid band. Just, you know, being a little kid in the 70s, you know, they had that mid to late 70s period where they put out some good records. And I'd actually like to bounce a question to you guys. I think Paul Rogers as a rock vocalist. I just think there's something about his voice. He just has a great rock and roll voice. I don't know. I'm just real curious if I could ask specifically what you guys think of Paul Rogers' voice. You know, his time as vocalist for Free and All Right Now. Talk about a great rock and roll vocal. And then his vocals for Bad Company. I think he was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Shooting Star song. I love that Shooting Star song. Mm-hmm. You know, I could listen to that all day long. How about you, Mikey D?
Yeah, I don't have any really good stories. I've never seen either band. You know, it's kind of tough. I feel like this is a pretty even matchup. I think they both have a lot of clout, a lot of notoriety, a lot of longevity. They've been around. They stand the test of time. I don't know. I could kind of go either way. I guess maybe I'd have to go Bob Seger just because he's, you know. I'm not sure why. Just kind of a gut feeling, I guess.
He's a Detroit rocker.
Yeah, he's a Detroit rocker. What the hell?
Yeah. And then, you know, I always laugh, too, because on some of those live albums, they're like, Detroit, how are you? Or like whatever city he's in. And I'm like, did he ever make a mistake? Like, did he ever think he was in Topeka, Kansas when he was really in, like, Tacoma, Washington? I don't
know. Have any of you had that experience? Because I was at an Iron Maiden show. It was at that same show the week before Bob Seger at the Stabler Arena when Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden said, "Good, how are you doing, Allentown, New Jersey?" And we were all looking around like, "What?" So, yeah, that was classic. And then he said, Pennsylvania. He must have said Pennsylvania 15 times then throughout the show after they told him, "Hey, you dummy.
We're in Pennsylvania." YOLO, it might be coming down to you. What do we got?
No, I think I lean towards Bad Company. I like their originality, vocals, and I think they're a pretty solid band.
Yeah, I don't know. Am I the tiebreaker? Because are we 2-2 now?
Might be.
Believe so.
Yeah, I'm gonna, even though I love Bob Seger, man, because, you know, Ramblin' Gamblin' Man, you know, and that whole live album from beginning to end is awesome. I love the Shooting Star song. Gotta put Bad Company through. So right. they're through. The next one. Last two bands, guys, The Faces against Thin Lizzy. And some people might, you know, say, I don't know so much about Thin Lizzy. I know they got a couple good songs and then The Faces. But, you know, that was Rod Stewart in his young heyday when he probably still was smoking a cigarette, kicking a soccer ball and having a couple pints right before the show. And then on stage, he just put the soccer ball away and kept smoking a cigarette and drinking his pints of beer. But then you got Thin Lizzy, too, smoking in the boys' room, you know?
Boys are back in town. That's a
Our boys are back in town. Yep. Bob, a gig? Anything?
Just no major stories. I'm just getting the Thin Lizzy record with Jailbreak on. Just remember – get it a bunch of times as a little kid, my local library, listen to my brother. But yeah, once again, great vocals, you know?
Yeah.
Great vocals. Phil Lynott, yeah, he's a guy that sadly left us too soon. You know, you wonder how long, what they would have morphed into and what their longevity would have, you know, turned out to be. But yeah, once again, just good 70s rock and roll. Yeah. I think we had a lot of that tonight.
Yeah. KD?
Well, I'm just letting you guys know that I will be filing a petition with the International Rock Court tomorrow to throw out The Faces and Thin Lizzy in lieu of The Offspring. So I was just looking through and I was like, well, like, you know, I kind of have to say something about The Offspring somewhere in these brackets. The guy who made the brackets, I think it was just an oversight. But you know, I just want to say I'm going to make a motion that both these bands get tossed out and The Offspring gets pushed through. I know that's highly irregular, but that's all I've got on those two bands.
Sure. Mikey D?
You know, I'm kind of torn on this one, too. I think I'd have to put The Faces through just based on the members of the band. I mean, I like Thin Lizzy too. I think they were a good classic rock band. They had a lot of chops. But you know, Rod Stewart, Ron Wood, you know, those guys are legends to some extent. I think you got to put them through.
Yeah. Sure. And up to you, Yolo. What do we got?
You know, I'm thinking I've been persuaded to go with Faces.
Yes. That's a good one. I'm going to have to push them through myself, only because I'm a big Stewart fan. But it, you know, when they have a live album that just kicks, you know what, and you can listen to it from straight to end. So there you have it. There's the end of the bracket. It's kind of quick. Now we're ready for the time machine question of the day. So Yolo, I always make that noise so that we know we're in the time machine and we're all now. There's the first time machine episodes 1 through 5. It was like really tight, but since we made money off the podcast, I got a bigger one now. So we have a nice cocktail lounge and we can sit down in chairs, even though time is quick. You go through time quick. You know, it still might take 5 minutes to get just from like point A to point B.
Hot tub time machine?
Yeah, just like the hot tub time machine. So boop, boop, boop. So what we're going to do is, since 16 Stones Curling Club is one of the sponsors of our podcast, we are going into the future, just a little, not a lot, like 9 months, because we're going to be able to create and build our own indoor curling club. But we have to go find some people to have a curling match with. Now, remember, curling includes drinking some beer and having a good time and a competitiveness. You got to be competitive. So boop, 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 we're in the time machine and we'll let Papa Gig go first. Papa Gig, we need to pick a rocker to come play on your team curling. And who are you going to get? It wants to be fun, a competitive.
I'm going to make a connection to tonight, one of my all-time favorite rock and rollers. I'm going to pick Joe Strummer.
Oh,
I didn't know. As a big Clash fan, once you read stuff, I saw pictures of Joe Strummer running the London Marathon, like in the combat rock era. And I thought, what? I didn't know he was a, you know, so, you know, to run a marathon, you got to be a competitor. And Joe just had an attitude. So, Strummer's going to be my man in that curling match.
I think he might do some trash talking too. Yeah, in between. Yeah. He'd probably still be smoking a cigarette with his pint glass, trying to use the broom to get the ice going. I don't know. So we're going to run up to Mikey D. Mikey D, who are you picking up to do some curling? We need a rocker.
Well,
and you know, male, female, doesn't matter. I'm just
throwing it out there. I'm with you. I think one of the most fun rockers that I can think of, it would be Jack Black. You know, he may not be known to be a rocker necessarily, but he's, you know, he's the professor of the School of Rock. I mean, you know, he would school all of us. And who's more fun than Jack Black?
I like it.
You know?
He would pick up the guitar, the broom, and play it like a guitar all night long.
He would be hours of entertainment.
All right, Yolo, we're going to you. You get to pick two. So we have enough people for the team.
So do these have to be – these could be any rockers? Any rockers? You know, so I'll have to – I'll have to go with Joan Jett.
Nice.
As being one of them.
Cool.
You know, she really was pretty high energy. And I'll just throw out Bruce Springsteen.
Okay. I like it. Good. Him.
And I love his ties to Asbury Park and how involved he is in the community.
Very cool. Very cool. So, TD, it's down to you. Before I make my pick, where are we going and why are we getting them? Why are we picking that person?
I'm kind of torn. I got two ideas based, you know, with connections to tonight, but I think I'm going to go with Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top. So he can really play the guitar. If you listen, especially to a lot of the early ZZ Top stuff. So he's got the chops there. And I think he's just a pretty easygoing, fun, interesting guy. I think he'd be fun to drink some beers and throw some stones and then, you know, play some tasty licks.
I like it. Well, we got one more stop. I'm going to England. Now, this person is not in any of our brackets. Very intelligent, though, because I saw an interview with him when he played Music Fest a while back. And we're going to go by and pick up Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull. Right. Smart guy, probably knows a little of the skill set and history, you know, of it. And you know he's going to have a good time and have a couple drinks with us. But he who knows? He might get a little too drunk. But I don't think he's going to be like Jack Black, like way off the side. But there you have it. That's a great group of people. I like to come back. And soon, and, you know, when they leave, they'll get the free T-shirt from the 16 Stones when they go back. And then in time.
They can rep us in their own era.
They can do that. Well, thanks again. So around Robin, we'll go TD, Papa Gig, YOLO, and Mikey D. Say goodbye to I think we got like 25 listeners now. So TD, start it off.
Once again, Allentown, New Jersey, we love you. Have a great night. Drive safely.
Papa Gig.
Good night, everybody. Hey, a lot of fun matchups, a lot of great bands. It was a great chat as usual.
YOLO.
Hey, a lot of fun joining you guys tonight from Connecticut, and look forward to the next one.
And finally, Mikey D.
Yeah, so long, everybody. Have a good one.
Okay, thanks again. See you next time.